Claudia's most pitting little families with only five or six children do with themselves.
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
Where are you?
You've given me a massive headache.
Teach your children well.
It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent, brought to you by Matt's Cookies. They're just like homemade cookies with real ingredients. Now also available through Peapod Delivery Service. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
Moms want. Just before Mother's Day in the Wall Street Journal, author Megan Basham rightly took to task a host of commentators, from those on Good Morning America, some were appearing there, to the Obama administration, and a whole host of others, the New York Times and others, who essentially were cheering about rising unemployment rates and how that was, quote-unquote, helping women. The logic goes something like this. It's men who have experienced up to 80% of the job losses in this recession, as sectors like the financial services have been hardest hit. Now, that means their wives are going back to work or working longer hours. And isn't that just terrific for women? Of course, Basham bursts the bubble of such folks by pointing out that women with children don't want to work more hours. In fact, gasp. Studies consistently show that what common sense reveals what we all know, which is that most mothers prefer instead to spend more time at home with their kids. Basham also cites an interesting 2006 University of Virginia study showing that even most self-described feminists are happiest in marriages in which their husbands earn most of the dough. Basham is the author of the provocatively titled Beside Every Successful Man, Getting the Life You Want by Helping Your Husband Get Ahead. That came out last year. And yes, investing time and energy and support in helping one's spouse get ahead can be a great investment for wives. Listen to this. It's obvious why this is the case. It just makes sense that men with well-educated stay-at-home mates tend to make more money and advance further, sometimes much further, in their careers than men in two-earner marriages. Now, I so agree with all that, and Basham is going to be my guest a little bit later in the show. I love what she writes. She's got absolutely the right take. Her book is totally provocative. But here's what we're going to get into a little bit, those of us who are raising daughters, well, and sons too, but this is a little bit about the daughters. Here's the problem. Now, what if a woman chooses to invest in her husband instead of pursuing her own career, at least at some level, then he decides to leave and he takes his money and, frankly, much more importantly, his earning power with him. Thanks to the feminist sisterhood, no-fault divorce has made just that situation all too common, often no longer legally honoring her investment in his work life. Now, yes, it says, I am fully cognizant that women frequently end marriages. In fact, women file for the vast majority of divorces in the United States, or about 70%. That doesn't mean they are responsible for their marriages ending. I mean, I actually was technically the one who filed for the divorce in my situation, but that was long after my husband had very clearly ended our marriage, and that was, you know, and that was clear to all involved. So, but technically, I actually had to file the paperwork. So, you sometimes hear that figure cited, and it doesn't always mean, it certainly does not mean it was the woman's desire to end the marriage, necessarily. But in any event, I'm fully cognizant that women frequently do end marriages, but typically they are not leaving the husband, at least, to face the work world with few job skills and a lack of work history. And that's the point here. I know I'll hear from guys who will say, oh, my wife left and she got the kids and massive child support and half the assets. I get it. I know that happens. I'm simply talking about facing the world with or without a work history. Now, having been in a long-term marriage, which abruptly ended, but during which I happily freed up my husband to focus on his work, I have personal experience with this reality. I also know I'm luckier than most women in my situation in terms of his financial support of our family and my history of always working at least part-time. Friends, you're listening to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL, and I would love to hear from you on this topic because this is really a difficult issue, and I am really I've really come to some conclusions about how I need to be raising and encouraging my daughters. But I'm sad I've come to these conclusions. In any event, I agree that society should honor a woman's decision to raise a family and invest in her husband's career advancement. You know, if she chooses, I really think we should honor that. I think legally that should be honored. And if it were, I actually think there'd be a lot fewer broken marriages. But legally, we typically don't honor that anymore because there are very few states now which have no fault or which have a fault-based divorce system. I'm not sure if, I don't think any of them do, in fact. So then, you know, what do we tell our daughters? Now, I got to tell you, today, wisdom and prudence suggest that women be fully prepared to provide for themselves and their children. Maybe not at the level at which they're living while married, but they need to have some job skills to fall back on. Because, and by the way, it's not just abandonment, but other issues like a husband's disability, for instance, might make this necessary. Now, some would argue, okay, one of the reasons that women file for divorce so often is because they can't financially take care of themselves. They just say, I don't need to put up with this. I'm leaving. In an earlier age, they might have said, you know what, we need to work together on this and stay in the marriage. I see that side of it. Believe me, I'm kind of agonizing over this. You know, I've always advocated moms working at least part-time. Sure, it's rewarding, and yes, I think it keeps them from pouring too much of themselves into their kids and becoming helicopter parents. Whenever I see a mom home full-time, and I mean no part-time work and no involvement, say, in a charity that has nothing to do with her kids or her kids' school, I just worry because I have the sense, and I have seen this so often, that women today took all that energy that it used to take to run a household, and now very little energy is needed to do that, physical energy with washing machines and microwaves and all that good stuff, and they tend to just go crazy pouring themselves into just a couple of kids, and then you have this helicopter parent phenomenon, which is very unhealthy for kids. It used to be, you know, we had this weird idea that before the 1950s, women were spending 3 hours a day on the floor playing, you know, educational games with their kids, friends. Just not so. Before World War II, it took a lot of work to run a household, and nobody was sitting down playing educational games with Junior. Junior was following Mom. Mom was in the home, but she was busy from the time she got up to the time she went to bed at night, and he was following her around while she was doing the laundry and doing all the things to run a household, and there were probably several kids, so nobody got put on a pedestal, and there was no such thing as a helicopter parent because nobody had the time or energy for that. And so I think that I've long advocated, when you have very young children, as long as they're healthy, I really advocate moms working at least part-time, or if not working for pay, then being involved in a volunteer activity that does not involve your kids. Because then you can say to your kids, Mom is busy, I'm working. And by the way, friends, work is not a bad thing. FYI, it was in the garden before the fall, and it's going to be in heaven after we die. Work is a wholesome and good thing, and I think it's a good thing for our children to see us doing it, whether it's in the paid workforce to some small extent that we can accommodate while we want to be at home with our kids, particularly when they're young, or some volunteer activity or something. And if you've got a couple of healthy kids and you're still saying, oh, I can't possibly find the time to do that, I think there's something wrong with the time amount of time you're spending with your kids, because there should be a way to do that. Let them do some fun activities, be independent, exchange some afternoon hours with a gal friend down the street so you have a few hours to get away. If somebody tells me they can't do that and they only have one or two kids and their kids are healthy, then I'm thinking way too much energy is going into those kids, and they are going to be put on a pedestal, and it's not good for the kids, and it's not good for mom and dad. So I've always, always advocated that. I've always advocated at least some part-time work. But I've got to tell you, I'm going beyond that lately because, well, it just seems to me that we increasingly live in a culture which is callous to the notion that in a civilized society, men protect women in every way. And I realize I'm saying some provocative things here that some of you won't like, so I'd love to hear from you. I don't think that reality, that sad truth, means that moms with young kids give up what is almost a universal desire we have to be at home most of the time, at least, with our young children, to at least not work full-time during those early years. But it does mean, I think, that responsible parents will continue to teach their sons that men protect women and they don't abandon the wives of their youth, and that we will teach our daughters to find something they love to do and plan creatively to keep their hands in enough during the early years of their little ones' lives that they have a career to go to or go back to largely support themselves if necessary. Thanks largely to the feminist sisterhood, I think women no longer have the choice of doing otherwise. And I think that's a shame. I think society should set up ourselves legally so that if a woman invests in her husband's life and career, then, and if he abandons her, whether or not she technically files a paper for the end of the marriage is or to declare what's already true is irrelevant. If he leaves that marriage and he unilaterally decides to move on, then she should be the recipient of what she has invested in him. And I would argue, if she doesn't find another husband for the rest of her life, I just think that that's how it should be regarded. That's the value that should be put on that, and that should be protected, and that would honor marriage, and it would cause far fewer marital breakups. But we don't do that. No-fault divorce is said. Nobody's to blame. Hey, come on, let's all have a party, divide everything up evenly. And, oh, you haven't really worked for 20 years because you've been helping him. Oh, well, maybe you'll get a little pittance for alimony, but that typically runs out pretty quickly. And then you're kind of done. So too bad for you. And unfortunately, because of that, women are in our society vulnerable to a situation when a marriage ends or when if their husband becomes incapacitated. So I think it is wise that we encourage our daughters to find work that they love and that they can be creative with and that they can support themselves with in their lives. And I've had to think through this with three girls, and I'm going to be encouraging them to do just that. We are soon going to be talking to Megan Basham, who is the author of this provocative book, and maybe she can give us a little more guidance on how women who do want to invest in their husbands' careers, which I appreciate, is there a way we can protect ourselves? Stay tuned. We'll be right back on It Takes a Parent. Stay with us, AM 1160 WYLL.
When your favorite program is on, check out the program guide for Chicago's Christian Talk at WYLL.com. That's WYLL.com.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Nap. A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Nap. And that's why Nap is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Not long ago, a customer suggested we sell Matt's chocolate chip cookies in health food stores because of Matt's all-natural ingredients. No additives or preservatives and less than one-third milligram of cholesterol in every cookie. Now, we appreciate the suggestion, but we don't make any health claims for Matt's. Just one psychological claim. Eat a Matt's chocolate chip cookie and you'll feel real happy.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt's.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod delivery service.
I come here to find healing from a life of abuse.
When I was 13, I was raped by two men.
What I'm going to tell you, I haven't really told anybody in maybe 10 years.
Before coming to this weekend, my emotional pain had held me captive.
I found this weekend to be very healing with my group.
The New Life Weekend is coming soon to a city near you. You'll spend the weekend with best-selling author and speaker Steve Arterburn, and New Life's group counselors will lead sessions on issues like grief, anger, depression, abuse, weight loss, and marital problems. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to newlifeweekend.com. Become the miracle at the next New Life Weekend. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been suffering for 26 years, and it's time to heal.
For the first time in 2 years, I'm free.
You saved the life, literally. You saved my life.
This weekend has been illuminating.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Columnist and commentator Betsy Hart sees parents who are tyrannized by experts, anxious and harried by their children to the point of misery, and she faults today's permissive parenting culture. In her critically acclaimed book, It Takes a Parent, how the culture of pushover parenting is hurting our kids and what to do about it. Betsy Hart, mother of four, presents a smart, refreshingly honest, and provocative argument for the crucial role of parents who lead rather than follow. Bill Bennett says of It Takes a Parent, I highly recommend it. Buy your signed copy now at betsysblog.com. That's betsysblog.com.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think you need a lift? That maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, to eat well, to look good for your age, to be healthy, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. Today there are so many wonderful enhancements available to you with little or no downtime and no surgery, and they can help you to look good on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. Dr. Hanna is a leader in treatments like Restylane to fill deeper facial lines, Botox to soften them, and the amazing skin tightener Accent. What's really incredible, just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180. Or visit hannahmd.com.
Get answers to the questions you've been afraid to ask. Ask the Pastor with Pastor Gregory Dickow. Weekday evenings from 5 to 6 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. This is Betsy Hart. And as you heard in the first segment, I really am enjoying what I read by writer Megan Basham, as it's pronounced, kind of cute. I really like what she writes, but I'm also conflicted because of my own daughters, and don't I want them to be able to financially support themselves? Well, Megan Basham wrote in the Wall Street Journal just before Mother's Day, around this time every year, we begin seeing state of motherhood reports that analyze how moms are faring. In our prosperous past, feel-good angles like how much a mom's housework is worth took center stage. But thanks to the struggling economy, this Mother's Day has seen a rise in more serious stories. Take, for example, the case of Eleanor Hemmert. And we'll talk about that, but basically the point is Eleanor's husband had his hours cut back because he was in a recession, actually lost his job. She's now working more hours. The feminists are all saying, isn't this great? These women are out there working more and longer hours, and this is the commentary on Good Morning America and the New York Times and even folks from the Obama administration. Only the women who are working more and longer hours and are away from their families more are saying, wait a minute, not so great. And I don't think that all the social engineering in the world is going to change that. So, Megan Basham, welcome so much to It Takes a Parent.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you are the author of the provocatively titled Every Woman, What Every Woman Wants.
Beside Every Successful Man, Getting the Life You Want by Helping Your Husband Get Ahead. Which that was actually a title change for the paperback, and we can talk about that a little
bit. Is that right? Okay. And actually, I'm sorry, I had that right in front of me because I was looking at the book, and it's fabulous. And I love your point. I'm just struggling because we live in a culture that doesn't seem to honor a woman's investment in her husband's career legally anymore. So if he leaves, she can end up getting the short end of the stick. But before we get to that, tell me a little bit more about why, just let's say they stay married their whole lives and it's all good. Justify for me a woman investing primarily in her husband's career, let's say, instead of her own. How does that help her?
Well, you know, what this book grew out of personal experience for me and what I saw myself going through and I'm 33 and a lot of women in my age group going through, which was, you know, we kind of bought in to a lot of the feminist rhetoric. We were very gung-ho in our careers, and then we got into them and got married and started wanting to start families, and our priorities changed, and I think we were all a little shocked. We kind of went, oh, wow. You know, it turns out we don't want to have full-time careers and try to take care of babies at the same time. And the flip side of that is, and we've seen a lot of reporting on this, there's kind of a generation of young men, and my husband would be the first to tell you he was a little bit one of them who are lost professionally, that men have not been doing as well, particularly in their 20s, early 30s when they're getting married. So women feel stuck. You know, they feel that they have to carry both loads now. Mm. And so a lot of what this was about for me was helping women get what they want. You know, I mean, obviously, I would never suggest that women not go to college, that they not, you know, have any kind of work, have any kind of career. That's not what I'm suggesting. In fact, what I'm suggesting is that studies show that these women who have skills and step back out of the workforce so that they can care for their children during those really important years are also able to contribute something really valuable to their husbands' careers. And I saw that again and again. And first I saw it in, you know, macro research when I was looking at economic data, and then I heard it in a lot of anecdotal data.
Well, tell me a little, okay, start with the macro, because you quote some interesting things in your book about if a husband has a well-educated stay-at-home wife, he's going to do better in his career than somebody who's wife is working full time. That makes intuitive sense to me. You got somebody holding down the fort at home.
Right.
You're freed up to do more of what you need to do to be successful. I mean, you know, if I had a stay-at-home wife, I could do more. I mean, that just makes sense. Do people argue with this?
Well, no, nobody argues with the fact that the marriage premium exists. That's what they call it. The economists call it the marriage premium.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Marriage premium, yeah. But what's interesting about it, and it shows that anywhere between 20 to 50% married men make more than otherwise identical single men, and men whose wives don't work make the most out of all of these groups.
Oh, wait a minute. So can you just repeat that? Because
sure.
That was really interesting. Go over that one more time.
So married men
okay.
make, as a group, anywhere from 20 to 50% more than otherwise identical single men.
And so by the way, yeah. By the
same
way,
education, yeah. same okay. background, he will make significantly less if he's single.
Okay, and by the way, that so makes sense. Once you've got a wife and you're grown up a little bit and you're responsible for another human being and for caring and protecting for a woman, which men are supposed to do, of course you're going to work harder and make more money whether or not she's working. In fact, when I lived in Washington, there was a funny story. I just have to tell the story, Megan, about this obnoxious beaver who had always been sort of getting into things in a local pond and just creating trouble and garbage and all this kind of stuff. Then he met a nice she beaver and he completely changed. And he was building her a little house and he was behaving and he wasn't getting into trouble anymore with other animals. It was hilarious. The Washington Post did a big article on this. It was just so funny. Okay,
even
so,
in the animal kingdom.
Even in the, exactly. Okay, so you've got... These married guys are doing better, and they do better in every way, frankly. I mean, they're
right.
just
yeah,
they don't
absolutely.
They're not out committing crimes as much. They're just it's just good for guys to get married. So they're doing better in the workforce. And then you're saying if they've got a wife who stays home, go ahead.
Right. Well, then there were then a lot of these economic studies kind of parsed the data and looked at men whose wives stayed home or worked part time, and they found that the fewer hours the wife works, the larger marriage premium, the larger increase financially those men saw. So that men whose wives didn't work at all had the largest increase in their salary.
Really?
Single guy. Yeah.
Incredible. Okay.
And then, I go into this in the book a little. I tried not to get too technical, but it's just fascinating information to me because then you look at it and they showed that. You know, there were studies showing that at first everyone thought, well, it must be because she's doing housework and she's taking care of the home. And like you said, so he doesn't have to concentrate on that. But there was a study showing that, did some time use surveys and found out that, no, as it turns out, married men and single men do about the same amount of housework. Single guys just live dirtier.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So, you start going, well, what is it that wives
are doing? Yeah.
And my theory is that, and this is one of those things that hasn't been proved in a large study, but it's what I believe after talking to all these women that I interviewed for my book, is that these educated wives who are typically working either part-time or not working at all are using their skills to benefit their husbands in a way that women who are devoted to full-time careers just simply wouldn't have the time to do.
As an example.
Yeah, well, I can give you an example
okay.
of, one that came up, it got really actually sort of heated in the British press. I talked a little bit about Richard Parsons and his wife. She was really integral in advising him. When he would make business decisions, she would go with him, meet with the people, talk to them, and she was a practicing child psychologist who, wasn't working. She kept a couple of office hours a week, but that was about it. But, and for those who don't know, he was the former CEO of Time Warner and now okay. chairman of the board. And and he would be the first person to tell you, and he did when I interviewed him, that he was a total slacker before he got married. And he was just lost, that everything he did was really came through his relationship with his wife. And so what she does now, for example, when they go out, she meets with the people. She talks to them, and then she advises them, basically saying, I think you should take that deal. I think you should consider working with that person. She encouraged him
wow.
to take the job at Time Warner when they offered it to him when he was president of a bank, and he was a little unsure. And she said, They met with the then CEO of Time Warner, and she said, I think this is a good change for you. I think you need a change. And so throughout his career, you just see her doing that advising from her expertise as a psychologist.
Now, that has to be a little bit unusual, though, for a woman to be that involved in a man's life who is at that high a level.
Well, they were certainly sort of a stellar example, and I have a lot of examples in the book who aren't quite so elevated. And I use my own story a little bit because we're, certainly not at that level. But, I had a writing background, and I did a lot to help my husband transition into – that was what, like I said, sparked the book.
Uh-huh.
My husband transitioned back into broadcasting because he was doing a job he hated and was miserable. And, had a degree in broadcasting and wanted to go back into it. So, you know, I just did my research thing.
You know, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And so that's on a much lower level. You know, I just used some skills that I had. And I had women in the book who, one of my favorites, he's the guy who was in pharmaceutical sales. She loved to bake. And she, this is kind of the Martha Stewart angle.
Uh-huh.
She helped him put together client baskets when he was getting started of, you know, goodies for his various clients and doctor's offices. And he saw a really quick return on that.
Wow. Okay. And I mean, and from my own experience, I did always work part time as a writer and commentator and one thing or another. But I was really good at, and my ex would say to this day that I was really good not only just holding down everything at home. And I mean, I did the banking and the bookkeeping and the family planning for vacations. I did all of that. So his mind was totally clear to focus on work. But I also did the entertaining and the charming, and we would go out, and he always called me, Ben always called me his social grease, because I would be the one to walk into the room first and hopefully be charming and inviting and social, and I would make sure we were invited to things, and we invited people to our home, and we entertained a great deal. And so I think that's one of the big things that I provided, was that networking that he was not as comfortable with.
That is a key one. You know, that one came up a ton. Because it's funny, you hear a lot of stories where, you know, business associates will say, well, I really like your wife.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually had some guys say to me, well, you know, people kind of think I'm sort of rough and gruff, but they meet my wife and then they feel a little more comfortable with me.
Yes. And I've talked to other wives who do the same thing. And we've talked about how it's kind of fun when you'll hear a client or an associate of the husband say, well, you know, is she coming? Because, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And that's fun, but it also, it's a picture. And I also know some couples where I think where the wife isn't working and isn't doing that stuff either, and I just go, whoa, you're losing a big potential asset there, because I think that is so important, and it's a way we can help our husbands. But I can see lots of different ways in which that kind of support can be offered that gets him ahead. Is there also maybe a sense that if she's not working and he's responsible for the breadwinning, it's just a higher bar he's got to reach?
I think that's true. You know, I mean, that's another one of those ones that you go, it was very hard. I tried to stick to things that I could demonstrate with hard data, and that is certainly something I think, and it's something that when I talk to a few sociologists, you know, they believe it too. It just was something that was harder to show
with
hard data.
Okay. We're going to be right back with Megan Basham. She's the author of Beside Every Successful Man, Getting the Life You Want by Helping Your Husband Get Ahead. Come back with us. We're going to talk about a study that shows that even feminists are happier in marriage, in which their husbands earn most of the dough. Stay with us on It Takes a Parent.
If you love to travel, we've got a great deal for you. Go to 1160travel.com for some of the best travel rates online. Check out 1160travel.com, all courtesy of Chicago's Christian Talk, AM 1160, WYLL.
Friends, you know how important physical fitness is, not just to your physical, but to your emotional health and well-being. So then how is your New Year's resolution to get or stay fit going for you? Well, mine is off to a great start thanks to Elite Fitness in Western Springs. Conveniently located in the western suburbs, Elite Fitness offers state-of-the-art weights and cardio and weightlifting machines along with great personal training. Now with their new expanded facilities, there's room for all your fitness needs. But what I love most are the classes. Elite offers a wide range of spin, Pilates, strong, boxing, total body fitness classes, and more, and their instructors are great. For the first time in my life, I'm regularly going to fitness classes several times a week. I'm having fun, I'm in better shape than ever, and when I take a class in the morning, I have a sense of added well-being that lasts throughout the day. Hey, maybe I'll see you there. Join now or find out more at EliteFitnessWS.com. That's EliteFitnessWS.com. Calling all campers and mom and dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Y Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out KQY Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. KQY, a family vacation with eternal significance.
If you own your own business and want to let people know about it, then advertise it on this show. It Takes a Parent reaches thousands of moms and dads all over the Chicagoland area. Nationally syndicated columnist, author, and radio show host, Betsy Hart, can tell everyone about your product or business on her show. Let Betsy's advertising team of experts come out to meet you for a free consultation. Introductory rates available for a limited time. Call 847-472-8942. 847-472-8942. That's 847-472-8942.
Hank Hanegraaff.
He's the answer man, the Bible answer man.
Discuss God's Word weekday evenings from 6 to 7 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I love it. I love getting in my car just to listen to it.
And you're back on AM 1160 WYLL. It Takes a Parent. This is Betsy Hart. So glad to have Megan Basham on the show with me today. She is a writer and author of Beside Every Successful Male, Getting the Life You Getting Beside Every Successful Man, Getting the Life You Want by Helping Your Husband Get Ahead, a Crown Forum book out last year. So, Megan, welcome back. Tell me a little bit. You quote a study, or you quoted a study in your Wall Street Journal piece, which really got my attention. I happen to have written about it when it came out in 2006 as well. A University of Virginia study, which goes along with a lot of other studies about how, you know, what really provides women happiness and all of this. But this one was a little different. I hadn't quite seen this one before, where even self-described feminists tend to have happier marriages when their husbands are earning most of the money.
Yeah, that was a pretty substantial finding, and it created quite a firestorm. But you know, it actually it supports a lot of data and research in other disciplines, and so that got a big reaction. But it's true.
Yeah, I mean, the part of what I have here is a little bit of a duh factor. You know,
right.
It's so much common sense, and it just fits with what the research is, that the vast majority of women, and I think it's in some of the studies you quote here, but I've seen them as well, like 79-80% will say it is not optimal and it would not be their choice to work full-time while their young children are at home, let's say before the school age years.
Right.
And again, there's sort of a duh factor. Well, yeah. So then, how is it we have these huge numbers on one side, we have a lot of personal experience of folks saying, of course I want to be there for my little ones, at least most of the time, or not work full-time during those years if I don't have to. Some women want to, but for the most part, the vast majority would choose not to.
Right.
So then we've got, on the other hand, all these social engineers, like in the Obama administration, some of the people you were on with Good Morning America with, just talking about, oh, but this women working more hours and more full time, that's just an inherently good social thing and it's good for women. Why the disconnect between what women want and what they want to give women?
Well, and you know, that was really, it was funny because you mentioned the duh factor. And, you know, I have people in my own life, you know, I don't live in Manhattan. I don't live in New York. I don't really have that. I think it's so focused there on this one perspective that you get out in the world, and people go, well, yeah, duh. You know, here in Arizona where I live, you know, I had all these kind of friends going, well, Megan, is this news? Believe it or not, to them, it is.
You mean to the elites, it is.
At least in the media, it is actually news, and, you know, they act shocked about it, and then, you know, my regular girlfriends at home go, well, yeah, no kidding.
Right.
And I think the disconnect is there because you're also, for one thing, when you look at the media, you're talking about women who get a different kind of gratification from their jobs than women all over the country doing different. I mean, you know.
That's interesting. Describe that to me.
Well, a woman who's working in an office, who's, you know, say an accountant or a teacher or whatever her job is, she's not getting the ego gratification of being a member of the media that a lot of these gatekeepers that you see. And I think
That's a really good point. Okay, so if you're, you know, the gal who's working the checkout line at Target is not thinking, wow, I am so high up in the world, this is awesome. I'm looking down on everybody else.
So
yeah.
Satisfying, right.
Yeah, she's just doing it because she needs it. You know,
exactly.
Because she needs to put money on the table. Okay. Whereas these little hotshots on the East and West Coast, you know,
sure.
I
mean, I think that that's part of it. I think when you have a job like that, and, you know, for instance, you know, some of the feminists I've debated, and I felt this way myself, as I go, well, we're doing jobs that are extremely flexible. we're writing, we're commenting, we're setting our own schedules. The girl working at Target isn't doing that. She has her, you know, someone's telling her when to be at work, and it's very easy for us to say, well, why can't you do that? Isn't it satisfying for you?
Oh, that is a good point. I write a weekly column every week, and guess what? I do that from my kitchen.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just probably do it when you want and around, you know, other obligations you have in your life. So I think that's part of it.
Okay.
The other thing is I think that, you know, obviously I think that there's an ideology that simply accepts that women working more is always just a good, regardless of how they feel about it. And that's a lot that I've seen from feminists commenting on this. And you've seen it. I'm sure you're familiar with Linda Hirschman, who wrote the book Get to Work.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Bennett, who wrote, you know, The Feminine Mistake. I mean, their argument is basically, regardless of how women feel, this is what they should be doing. And basically, and if women don't want this, then they're kind of too dumb to know what's good for them.
Right. And you know, we're going to get into this in a little bit, that I have concerns about women who can't support themselves.
Right.
But I think it would be great for women to have that choice. They really, honestly, don't want women to have that choice. Forget the financial issues and supporting yourself. That's really not the issue for them. There's just something about being in a marriage in which you have different roles and you're raising your family and being supported by a man that just drives them inherently nuts.
Right, and we see that with, you know, divorce statistics. You know, women are generally, not saying that no woman can ever be happy in that arrangement. Some can, but they are the minority. Most women are not happy when they're the big breadwinners in their families, when they're, you know, supporting a husband. They're not happy in that situation.
Yeah, I think it would be icky.
Right.
And when I you know, hear about these guys who are sort of the stay-at-home dads and she's out earning the money. Now, maybe in this economy you do what you have to do for a while.
Right.
Maybe because of health issues you do what you have to do for a while. Absolutely. But when I find out that that's a real choice the both of them are making, I got to tell you, I think it's icky. I think it's not manly. I think that a good man works to support his family. And if he can't, that's a totally separate story. But
well,
if he's choosing not to, I'm not impressed.
To be really blunt about it, I talked about this a little bit in the book, was that, you know, when you look at a lot of these women, when they start getting interviewed, who are the breadwinners, a lot of them were divorced by the time I talked to them. But
oh, that's,
you know,
interesting.
There was a real sexual attraction problem when their husbands weren't working, or they were perfectly happy to let their wives provide most of the income for the family. Their wives had a real attraction problem, and you didn't see that going the other way. You don't see husbands saying, well, I'm not really attracted to my wife because she doesn't bring in any money.
You know, that is very interesting. I fully believe men are designed to protect and care and provide for women and children.
Right.
And barring some extraordinary circumstances, they'd better darn well be doing that, or I just don't think it's very manly. It's not attractive to me at all. And so it just goes against how I think they were made. Then the question remains, well, how are we as women made, which is to work or not? And before we get into the financial issues, what I had mentioned at the top of the show a little bit was that I have often written, Megan, about women, that I encourage women, even with young children, to work part-time. Forget the finances. My concern is I've seen a lot of women, because now with this day and age we have, it is just much easier and faster to take care of a home. We tend to pour ourselves into our children, I think, too much when we don't work at all. We tend to become these helicopter parents because, frankly, we got nothing else to do. And I do think it's wise to work part-time or to even just work at a charity for free, but a charity that doesn't involve your kids, so that you have something that is apart from the children and you can say to your kids, this is mommy's work. This is valuable to me. As I point out, work existed in the Garden of Eden before the fall, and it's going to be in heaven after we die.
Right.
It's a good thing, and I think there should be some, you know, I do get concerned when I hear some women advocates of stay-at-home moms talk as if almost working for a woman is in and of itself a bad thing. So I think it's that balance. So then the question becomes, love everything you're saying, very much agree with you, but while I have concerns that we live in a culture that no longer honors legally the investment a woman would make in her husband's career, and if he decides to leave, and this happens all too often, he may have to make a settlement and even provide some support for the kids. But if she hasn't worked for 20 years, he's taking his job history with him, and she doesn't have that.
Right. And you know, this is something that's come up a lot. And I am the first thing I would point out just really quickly is that, you know, it's happening all too often, except that one of the things we don't look at is today, anywhere between 75 and 80% of divorces are initiated by women.
Well, that's true. And I actually talked about that in the top of the show. That is absolutely true. But I would And I have met way too many women, and I'm fully cognizant that women leave marriages and they go off to find themselves or somebody else, and they act like idiots, and they take their kids with them, and they get child support. I totally agree, get that. However, two things. One, they're typically not, at least they're not leaving their husband without a work history.
Right.
And second, a lot of those times when they initiate the filing for the divorce does not mean they ended their marriages. And I pointed out that I was forced to actually file the paperwork for my divorce long after my husband had quite officially ended our marriage. And it was totally clear. I was just left with no choice but to technically get the paperwork in. So I would fall into that category, being the one who filed, but there, you know, and I won't even go into all the details, it was demonstrably over. So there are other women in that category as well. However, you're right, and the other part of this, and I said this, and I had teased it and said I wanted to talk to you about it, is there is a sense, and I've heard this before too, that women say, oh, you know what, I can't support myself. I'm out of here.
Right. And
so that's kind of
independence effect, right?
Yeah.
I think what you're bringing up is a really fair point. You know, I mean, when people have asked me about this, you know, the first thing I can do is show, well, okay, I mean, but most women in this situation don't necessarily want to hear it, because you can break down the statistics and say, but the likelihood that you would be in this group if your husband is earning this much, if you're only earning, you know, if you're earning a third of what he earns, actually the likelihood is that you don't get divorced because both of you tend to be happier. And you can show all that.
You're right, that is true. Mm-hmm.
And so you still go, okay, but it still happens. And as far as that goes, you know, it's funny because that was sort of the media's take on the book was, well, she's saying don't work. And I'm like, well, no, I work part-time.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I enjoy my work. And in no sense did I advocate that women don't develop skills or that kind of thing. In fact, I encourage them to continue to use them on their husband's behalf. But part of, you know, looking at that, it was a little frustrating because when you're debating feminists, like we just talked about this for a moment in the break, is that they pushed for no-fault divorce so that women are less vulnerable in that situation, mm-hmm. and that their contributions aren't recognized. Some of what's, and I did not, I, personally, because of my religious faith, we wouldn't do this, but I do know some women who I talked to who did a post-nuptial agreement. They basically, when they sat down and decided I'm going to step out of the workforce or mostly step out of the workforce, they actually drew up an agreement that recognized her contributions.
I wonder we can talk about this when we get back. I'm even curious if that would hold up in court. But this is a really interesting aspect of this whole discussion and where our crazy culture has gotten when it comes
right.
to marriage and women and so forth. So let's come right back and talk more with Megan Basham on It Takes a Parent, AIM 1160 WYLL. Don't touch that dial. Come right back.
Chicago's Christian Talk includes New Life Live with Stephen Arterburn. Learn more at newlife.com and listen weekdays at 1.
Do you know that a huge percentage of illnesses are because of stress? I believe it. Look, I used to think a massage was a rare luxury to be enjoyed only on a vacation or for a special occasion, but no more. Not since I've been going to Massage Envy in Western Springs. Now, massage is an affordable, regular part of my wellness program. Massage Envy of Western Springs will show you how consistent massage can lower blood pressure and stress, improve your circulation, and make you feel oh so good. And in these tough times, you need something to affordably feel good about. Massage Envy is open late, so you can go after the kids are in bed, or you can walk in anytime. Your first massage is only $49, and a membership at one Massage Envy is good at them all. My Massage Envy in Western Springs is a little oasis for me. And for this single mom of four, it's not a luxury, it's a necessity. Call 708-784-ENVY. That's 708-784-ENVY to book your first massage.
Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookies? Now, a quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. Who puts real chocolate in chocolate chip cookie? Now, and that's why Math is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around.
Before you decide to move out of Chicago, better check the stores where you're going to make sure they carry Matt's chocolate chip cookies. Matt's is sold in a lot of places, but they're not everywhere, like in California, for instance. So if you're offered a good job in California, better think it over. over. A career is one thing, but giving up Matt's chocolate chip cookies? Now that's serious.
A quarter pound of real chocolate in every single pound. And that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Yeah, that's why Matt's is the best tasting chocolate chip cookie around. Matt's.
Now Matt's cookies are available via Peapod Delivery Service.
Pastors come and pastors go. But what happens when your pastor goes and you need another one to come fill his shoes, especially if he left big shoes to fill? Well, that's the easy part. When you visit churchstaffing.com, the Internet's premier website devoted exclusively to connecting churches with the people they need. Pastors, administrators, music staff, technology, and media, anyone who could ever work in your church can be found through churchstaffing.com. It's always sad to see someone go, but you'll find the happy new replacement at churchstaffing.com.
Calling all campers, and Mom and Dad, that's you too. This is Betsy encouraging you to enjoy the time of your family's life at Take Fly Family Camp in Branson, Missouri this summer. Choose your 6 days of solid Christian teaching and fun activities for the whole family in a beautiful Hawaii-like resort environment. My kids and I love it, so we're headed back this summer. Check out Take Y Family Camp, part of the Kanakuk family of Christian sports camps, by going to my website, betsysblog.com. Take Y, a family vacation with eternal significance.
AM 1160.
Welcome back to It Takes a Parent, AM 1160 WYLL. We are on with Megan Basham, author of Beside Every Successful Man, Getting the Life You Want by Helping Your Husband Get Ahead, a Crown Forum book in 2008. Megan, welcome back to It Takes a Parent. So we have a last segment. We're getting into the real meat of the issue here, which is, first of all, let's start with the fact that the feminists gave us a world, thanks to their little fancy pants ideas about no fault divorce, and isn't that just lovely, that in which you can no longer, in many cases, women are not going to be honored legally if their husband leaves for having invested in his career because no one's at fault. Let's just move on. Can't we all be friends? So they've gotten us into this mess. Can you describe a little bit about that history just briefly?
Well, you know, and that's really the insane part, because part of that, looking at the marriage premium and looking at all of the data, you know, I was just able to go, it's insane that we don't reward women when we economists can clearly show that part of his income is due to having a wife.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, you go, I can't understand how this isn't, you know, something that's so clearly demonstrated again and again and study after study isn't recognized by the courts. It certainly should be. And that was something, you know, that the 70s era feminist push for. That was something that, you know, a lot of these women who are writing books now, we talked about Leslie Bennett and Linda Hirschman, would still advocate that there would be no-fault divorce. And the reason behind it was because it forced women into work. This idea that regardless of whether or not they want it, it's for the social good of women.
Really? So that was actually, I mean, they felt no-fault divorce would be a good thing because it would force women to provide for themselves.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Of it.
Really?
That's
interesting.
Would be pushed into the workforce despite what they wanted, and that would be good for them.
Wow, the social engineers just know no bounds.
Right, and we're still seeing that. I mean, I talked about this a little bit in the column, just the insanity of saying that here these women are very unhappy about their husbands being out of work, but we're going to, in the new infrastructure programs, make sure that a certain percentage of women in the construction projects are women. Well, how many women want to work construction?
I mean, that's just, these people are crazy. It is just nuts. It doesn't cease to amaze me. Yeah, yeah. We really, you know, mom of young kids is real excited about being on the 30th floor on some, you know, thing sticking out of a skyscraper that's being built. That's awesome, guys. Thank you. Okay. All right, so we've got this no-fault divorce thing, which does make at least some women more vulnerable. Yes, it's true that women who invest in their husband's careers, if they've got that kind of a marriage, are technically the least likely to find themselves divorced. It is, and I have heard this before, it is absolutely the two full-time earner marriages that are most likely to end for a host of sociological and economic reasons. But it does sometimes happen. And it happened to me, and I got to tell you, it was an absolute shock. And I had a mother who, when I was growing up, she would say things to me like, don't raise your hand in class, boys. Don't like it when girls are smart. Or maybe you should think about being a dental hygienist or a paralegal. It never occurred to her I could be a dentist or a lawyer.
Right.
That was her way of thinking. Now, ironically, my mother was awesome. I totally loved my mother. She was she went back and got a bachelor's and a master's degree when she was, like, in her 40s and was raising five kids, you know, and then she went on to run for political. She was very successful, but the thing she said to me was basically like, always take a back seat. So that was kind of in my mind, and I got to tell you, I'm raising my daughters differently, and my own instinct is to say, both for their own satisfaction, because I think it's exciting to have a profession and to feel like you are good at something, and when your kids are driving you crazy, hopefully at least somebody else is saying, hey, I like that column you wrote in my case, and that's, I know it's helpful to me. It's a concrete thing that I can get done every week and get some feedback on, and that's helpful to me as a mother. There's lots of great reasons I want them to have work that they love. One of them increasingly is I want them to be able to provide for themselves at some level. So I'm trying to think through how to encourage them to creatively do that without saying, you know, don't follow your dream of staying home with your kids when they're young, because the vast majority of women want to do that. So I'm flummoxed about this whole thing.
Right. And, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because, like I said, I sort of felt whenever I would do these media appearances when the book first came out that it was sort of pigeonholed into this, well, work or don't work, where I go, you know, I don't feel that most women – that's the experience that they're having in their lives. In fact, most women in that Pew survey that I referenced in the column say they want to work part-time. You know, mm-hmm. And most of the women that I know, they do something. You know, they do something, like you mentioned, charity work. They do something that gives them a chance to get out, to exercise those skills. And I certainly don't think we should go back to the time when women don't go to college, don't begin careers, don't start these things.
Although, by the way, I mean, I do know some, and I mean more than some. I know of several different families in the Christian community who do not send their daughters to college and believe that is not appropriate.
I'm actually related to some, so I disagree with them on that. So, you know,
makes me crazy, because one of the things you say in your book is it's a well-educated wife who helps her husband.
Right, and that to me is part of the reason. If you look at it from that perspective, and you go, well, you make a better partner for somebody.
Yes,
you're more beneficial to them in the partnership when you have those skills. So I certainly think that, you know, saying that even diminishes the value you bring to your marriage. And don't we want to bring the most value to our marriage?
Right, and to raising our children with an educated mother and all that. But anyway, but nonetheless, let's get into a little bit more of, okay, so you were talking about on the media tours that they were coming, oh, Megan, you must have this idea of just work or don't work at all. Those are the only two options.
Right, and that was, you know, and which is funny, because most of the women that I highlighted in my book do something. You know, they had a career, they stepped back from it once their kids were born, and typically that's what you see. And in a lot of these cases, when their husbands became really successful, you mentioned the charity thing, they started working on various charities and using their skills still organizationally to do that kind of thing, because these are women, you know, who really had some abilities that they wanted to continue contributing. And so, you know, that was just something that was funny to me, that it was just so much this either or, and that's not women's experience. And there's also the fact that, you know, when I'm talking about helping your husband, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's just your only choice, and that at that point rules out doing anything at all for yourself. I was just talking about, well, here's how to help your husband get ahead so that you have more flexibility, more financial freedom. At the same time, that certainly doesn't cut out the idea of being able to continue to do work that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would be the first thing I would say.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No. That gives some clarity right there. That it's
right.
Not just an either or. You're not even saying it's an either or.
No, not at all.
Okay, so you're saying, yes, you go ahead and invest in your husband and be a support for him in all these different ways. That doesn't mean you can't also then be husbanding, to use the pun intended,
mm-hmm.
to do kind of your own work as well.
Right. And it's funny because I keep going, well, obviously, I work. So I don't think that, you know, that means you just immediately stop doing anything for personal satisfaction. I continue to do that.
Okay. So now, do you have kids?
I am pregnant right now.
Oh, good. Hey, congratulations. When do you do?
July.
Okay. So then how will that look? Will you continue to write and do articles? Do you have another book planned? You know, how will that kind of work itself out when you have kids?
I do articles for a magazine called World.
Great magazine. It's a terrific. Yeah, we know it well on the station. It's a great magazine.
Yeah, so I write regularly for them, and I do columns, and I'll continue to do that. And really, this book was a part of a long-term plan for us. It was looking at my husband's career going, at that point, wow, okay. And he was on board with this, too. I should make that clear.
Okay.
saying, you know, when we first got married, there just seemed very little chance that he would be able to be the primary support for a family.
Okay.
And so we looked ahead and went, okay, 5 years from now, we want to start having kids. How do we go about reversing our roles? Because it seemed at that time that I had more potential to go farther and make more money, but that's not what we wanted for our lives and for our marriage. And frankly, I'd seen some friends get divorced in that situation, and I went, wow, I don't want this. And so this is kind of the culmination of a plan that I had, and when I and that was where the book came out of, and I started interviewing women going, okay, how did you do this? How did you help your husband? Because I want to do that.
Yeah.
So and so now here we are, you know, next 2 months we have a new baby, and then that's the second part of the plan.
Okay. And but you actually set out early on. That's so interesting. You were the one who clearly had the potential to be the breadwinner, but you wanted to reverse that, and you created a long-term goal and a plan to make that reversal happen and be successful.
I did.
That's awesome.
Very intentional.
And yet, then you still have your skills as a writer. You'll keep those up to the extent probably when you have little ones. You'll probably find, as I did with four, you'll even have a lot more to write about. and then, you know, you have some more flexibility later on as to what you want to do. But I love it. You planned ahead. You had a plan in place for how to get to where you wanted. Ladies and gentlemen, moms and dads, if you've got kids, that's what you need to talk to them about, is creatively planning for the life you want in your marriage, and start that early. Megan Basham, it has been a delight to have you on the It Takes a Parent Show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. We'll have you back, and best wishes with that baby.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and to all of you listening to It Takes a Parent, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you have a lovely Sunday, and I hope you join us right back here next week. AIM 1160 WYLL. From all of us at It Takes a Parent, this is Betsy Hart saying thanks so much for listening.
Start your day with Family Life Today and Dennis Rainey. Weekday mornings at 8:30 on Chicago's Christian Talk.
I want to thank you for your wonderful radio station. I listen to it every day.
Do you ever look in the mirror and think that maybe while you work hard to exercise and be in shape, your face isn't reflecting how you feel inside? Acclaimed facial cosmetic surgeon Dr. Wafi Khanna and the folks at Skinsational Med Spa in Hinsdale can help. You can look more on the outside like you feel on the inside, vibrant, healthy, younger. You know about Botox for frown lines and Restylane to plump lips and facial folds, but they also offer photo rejuvenation. With no downtime, it removes most brown and red spots and improves dull complexions. There's microdermabrasion and pixel resurfacing to treat large pores and rough skin texture. But what's really incredible about all this? Just a little bit of investment on the outside can help you to better reflect your inner beauty and wellness. Now, I'm not going to give away any of my own secrets. I'm just going to tell you that I love the folks at Skinsational Med Spa. Call them now at 630-887-8180. That's 630-887-8180, or visit HannahMD.com.
Hi, this is Dennis Rainey. Listen to Family Life Today weekday mornings at 8:30 on AM 1160 WYLL.
Over 20,000 pounds of delicious cookies made with all-natural ingredients are baked at Matt's Cookie Factory in Wheeling, Illinois, each day. For over 30 years, award-winning Matt's cookies continue to have those same natural ingredients, flour, butter, eggs, and sugar. No preservatives, no chemicals, just a quarter pound of chocolate in each bag of chocolate chip cookies. The Chicago Tribune selected Matt's cookies as the first place winner in a blind taste test of commercially baked chocolate chip cookies. They said Matt's cookies had lots of real chocolate and a soft texture that some equated with being most like homemade. Try them today. Go to mattscookies.com or find them in your grocery shelf in just about every grocery store. Matt's Cookies, the homemade-style store-bought cookies, now available in chocolate chip pecan, peanut butter with chocolate chips, cranberry walnut, and fig bars. Wow, Matt's Cookies. Get some today.